Looking for a guiding hand in your Amazon business? Wizards of Ecom Academy is here for you. Our personalized support system includes unlimited email access to myself and my entire team to help you overcome challenges and strategize effectively. Sign up for an exclusive rate at wizardsofecom.com/academy. Your personal e-commerce coach awaits.
Welcome to the Wizards of Ecom, your no-fluff playbook for online success. Each episode is fully packed with actionable tactics you can implement in your business right now. Take your life to a higher level and excel in your online success. It's time to work on you and your business. Let's do this.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Wizards of Ecom. This is Amy, your host, and today I'm joined by Adam Heist. He's a seven-figure Amazon seller, and the way how he describes himself, which I love, and I'm going to quote, it's, "I build and grow seven-figure Amazon FBA brands and post weekly videos on how to do it." So, Adam, welcome to the show.
Naomi, it's awesome to meet you finally in person. I'm huge fans of you and Carlos and the Wizards of Ecom crew. So I actually met Carlos at an event in Florida. Gosh, I think it was like a month or so back. So it was good to meet him in person, but totally aligned with how you guys approach things and very excited to be on the podcast to chat Amazon.
I'm excited to have you on. As I was saying previously, when we chatted before recording, you know, it was like, oh, I was looking forward to have you on the show. I'm a super like huge fan of you and of your videos, of your content. I think it's amazing. And now I'm like super excited to have you on the show.
Very cool.
Reason I have you on, I love the way that you are not only an Amazon seller, but you're thinking outside the box. You're trying to figure out things, trying to see how the algorithm works, how things are working, not only on the Amazon platform, but outside as well. And you also bring a lot of really great content about external traffic. And today's topic is going to be about Google Ads, because I think that's the fastest way how to wrap our mind around things, that there's such a way to like bring external traffic to your listing as well, and it's working. And specifically also your approach, how did you figure it out first off there, that there's like a correlation there and it's working for your listing, and what are your tips and best practices? I would start right there.
Sure, sounds good. Well, I'll maybe kind of start with backstory, and then we'll maybe slowly peel the onion back and kind of get into some more tactical stuff on Google Ads. So I want to say it was about 2 years ago now. I had previously used a lot of like the Facebook ads to ManyChat and like discount and launch kind of rebate launches. And that worked really, really well for a number of years. That was kind of the go-to launch playbook for a lot of folks, myself included. Mm-hmm. But about 2 years ago, I started to run into challenges just with really low quality buyers, and just, you know, things started to not work quite as well with that strategy. And so I'm like, well, crap, that's kind of like one of my key elements of my launch strategy. So I got to figure something else out. As you kind of alluded to it, I think the one thing that I try to have an advantage with over other Amazon sellers is, if we're honest, most Amazon sellers are lazy, right? Like, we've got all of this embedded customer base that Amazon has with Prime users. They bring a crap load of traffic and eyeballs. You just have to be really thoughtful about your product offer, understand keywords, and kind of piece it together to succeed on the marketplace. But if you're off Amazon, there's a lot of things that you need to do as a digital marketer or a direct-to-consumer physical products brand. That's kind of elbow grease. You got to do some, you know, bring in traffic. You got to understand advertising, all those things. So when this started to kind of go awry with rebates, I'm like, okay, well, let's kind of start studying at least what the really good D2C brands do off of Amazon. And let's see if I can bring some of those strategies and approaches specifically around traffic to my Amazon listing, and let's just see what happens. So I really started testing every possible external traffic source and ad platform I could, really kind of looking under the hood, understanding how to set ads up, what's the best, you know, way to drive traffic inexpensively to my Amazon listing. And the first one, and still to this day, one of the richest sources that I've kind of discovered through that, has been Google Ads. So I kind of first started trying it about 2 years ago and pretty immediately realized it had a pretty material and profound impact on Amazon organic ranking. And kind of, you know, from that point on, both for launches and kind of maintaining listings, I've been driving Google traffic and external traffic ever since then. So that was kind of the genesis of it. Maybe we'll get into a little bit more like the back end reports I discovered with my Amazon account to kind of understand some algorithmic stuff too, but that's it in a nutshell.
That's brilliant. And I love that you were saying, I agree with you, Amazon sellers are lazy. But I think the fact they are lazy only because they know that those things are working already. And sometimes they don't think For me, I discovered Google Ads only because of budget. The niche I am in, it's highly competitive. And the PPC is like $15 per click, which is not even converting. And I'm like, hey, this cannot be, you know? So I definitely agree with you. Sometimes you are pushed because of some type of reasons. There's also a problem to be solved. So yeah, I definitely agree with what you are saying.
Yeah, and I totally agree. I mean, honestly, like I think there's a hierarchy of where your attention, money, and kind of learning and education should be as an Amazon-centric seller. And there's, you got to have the fundamentals of Amazon, right? And I definitely would kind of focus there initially. But to be more effective, certainly to scale and to scale profitably, that's where you have to start to dig into these additional tools that most Amazon sellers are either afraid of or are too lazy to kind of uncover. And that's really where a lot of the magic, the profitable magic exists, I think, as an Amazon seller, is in those tools. Doesn't mean that the other stuff doesn't matter and fundamentals don't matter, but if you really kind of want to put the cherry on top, there's some of these additional strategies that work really well.
Definitely. And also, as you were mentioning, I think there are less competition as well. So you have the higher hand, because whoever is coming on Google Ads, maybe they don't have the knowledge that you already have. You already know which keywords are working for you. Therefore, you already have a huge leverage there.
Yep, 100%. Yeah,
okay, so why Google Ads? We kind of covered that. We wanted to see, okay, you gave the backstory. What keyword would you go for in this scenario? Because I was saying, okay, you already, let's say you are selling a product, you already know the keywords. I know that you're using this usually for launch or also maintenance, but in this scenario, let's say I am total newbie. I have a few keywords that I know already are working for me. What next?
Yeah, so I think the easiest way to kind of deploy a strategy, because I do think that good enough works oftentimes. Like I think you can be really, really good at something with just the basics and have a pretty good directional impact. Now, if you wanted to run a Google Ads agency or you wanted to be an expert in the field of Google Ads, like anything in life, you could spend the next 2 years getting certified and going to conferences. I mean, there's a spectrum of knowledge and capability, I think, in anything that you do. Google Ads is no different. How I like to deploy Google Ads as an Amazon seller is frankly in the easiest to implement fashion. First of all, I think that the easiest way to kind of make this work effectively and have the biggest impact is when you use it at launches. Maybe we'll get into non-launch use cases later on, but to really trigger a lot of the algorithmic signals that Amazon is going to reward heavily with organic rank, the best impact is during honeymoon when you're launching a product. And in particular, these external traffic signals at a launch period are probably one of the most inexpensive, biggest impact things you can leverage. So I say for most folks, if you want to get into Google Ads, the easiest way to do it is to test it on a launch. That's going to be the easiest to kind of figure out. In terms of actual keywords, honestly, my approach is super simple. There's something called a Google Keyword Planner that is kind of very similar, I think, to Amazon-oriented tools or software where you can kind of uncover keywords to bid on. Google Ads has that same thing, and it's called Google Keyword Planner. And it basically looks at what are people typing in various geographies or audiences in Google for various products. You can see search volume. You can see roughly what the cost per click is going to be. I don't mess with any of that. All I basically do is, you know, as Amazon sellers, I think you should be, and probably a key part of your strategy when you're compiling a product and launching a product, is going to be doing a deep dive keyword research. And there's lots of different methods to do it. But most of us should have anywhere from, you know, 20 to 200 keywords that we're really looking at targeting when we're launching a product on Amazon that are high relevance, that are kind of search volume that we want to see, that our competitors are ranking on. And so those very same keywords that you're building into your listing, maybe targeting with your Amazon pay-per-click campaigns, I use that same fleet of keywords when I'm launching a Google Ads campaign for the first time. So super unsophisticated. I'll take those 20 to 200 keywords that I've already uncovered for Amazon, and I basically plug those into the Google Ads platform and target those exact same words. Oftentimes when I'm launching a pay-per-click campaign on Amazon, as an example, I'm usually kind of, you know, siphoning off certain keywords. Maybe I'm doing 1 to 10 keywords per ad group and kind of doing it in a very kind of method, you know, spliced up way. For Google, I'm super simple. I dump them all usually into 1 or 2 campaigns. Usually if you're only running keyword campaigns on Google Ads at launch for say 2-3 weeks, you know, there's not enough data that can really be accumulated to really, really optimize them too much, which is when you'd want to kind of be really sophisticated about your campaign structure. So that's what I do. Take 20 to 200 keywords, dump them into a single Google Ads campaign. I'll usually use exact targeting, but you can also use broad or phrase targeting, very similar to the structure that you see on Amazon. Focus on the market where I'm launching the product, which is oftentimes, in my case, the United States. And then I'll set a budget and then it's off to the races. I would say that most people, if you're nervous and intimidated about this whole process, if it takes you more than 25 minutes, you're probably being too strategic about it. This is something that really takes, you know, me oftentimes 15 to 20 minutes to set these campaigns up for the first time. Super simple using keywords from Amazon and then super simple ad group structure.
Brilliant. I love how you teach throwing like golden nuggets. First off, the way why I love, or the reason why I love your channel and your content is because this is what you're saying. You don't have to be an expert. You have to know at least like to just dabble around and to know exactly, okay, this is what I'm going for. And then I'm finding it out. So I love that part because most of the time what I find that I personally am like, if I don't know like 100%, I won't start, you know? And most people, I think that's the way why they're not really doing something. So I definitely love that.
No, and I honestly, like, you know, people have asked me before, like, what's my biggest regret or what's my biggest mistake that I've ever made? And honestly, most of my mistakes on Amazon come down to not starting something sooner. And I think I'm the exact same way. I think it's human nature to kind of lock up, right? Like, if it's something that I don't fully understand, if it's a little bit of an abstract concept, if I'm kind of afraid of change, which most human beings are naturally inclined to do, you just... You procrastinate your way out of avoiding doing new things because it seems hard, difficult, or I'm gonna have to learn something new. But like anything, right? When you decided to get Amazon, you know, get into Amazon for the first time, I remember setting up a freaking account was confusing. I remember like booking my first Amazon shipment was like super stressful because I'm like, hey, what do I select? Like,
FNSQ, where is the FNSQ?
I mean, if you think about anything you've done in life, the first time you ever logged into Facebook or, you know, Facebook changed their like look and feel of the newsfeed, like anything that's new for the first time seems overwhelming, seems confusing, it's anxiety inducing. But I can guarantee you, like anything in life, Google Ads being one of them, you'll look back on it after doing the first campaign. And it's like, okay, that was easy. Like in hindsight, I should have been doing that for the last 6 months. And so I put this in that camp and most new things in that camp in terms of getting in the ring, getting in the arena and actually just testing and doing things. Once you get over that initial kind of an anxiety inducing hurdle that change presents, it can be really where the special stuff happens in life and certainly for an Amazon business. So
definitely. And I think why, okay, last rant about fangirling you, okay? What I love about your videos is like also you are like, it's step-by-step process. So you're going to show you exactly. I think that's also something that I personally find is super helpful. Look, it's you and it's your tutoring me how to do stuff. You're not tutoring me to become an expert. You're tutoring me. This is what I am doing. This is what it's working. This is how it can work for you. So that's super, super easy. Okay, so you were talking about exact match, broad match, and also in your videos that you also have a tutorial type of like how to do this. Basically, you're saying that you would go for exact match. Have you seen the difference between exact and match and compared to like Amazon PPC, for example? Is there like, what was the difference between that?
Yeah, I've kind of tested both. I think they're, you know, the one thing I kind of like to hone in the budget a little bit. One thing, because you're dumping a significant amount of keywords into a single ad group. I mean, you know, that helps with simplicity and kind of ease of setting things up, especially if you're only doing it for a couple of weeks at launch. But you do run the risk of letting kind of Google run a little bit wild if you don't kind of constrain their kind of bid algorithm to kind of focus on words. So I'll typically, if it's a discrete launch and I have a pretty good idea on what the relevant keywords are on Amazon, most of those same relevant keywords will also exist on Google. And so I like exact just because it doesn't get too many random words that kind of come into something. I think very similar to Amazon, you get a lot of, you uncover a lot of nuggets and a lot of cool keywords that you wouldn't have otherwise thought about. But if you're only running something for a couple of weeks, it's, you lose some of that benefit. So for me, I like to kind of constrain the bids to keywords that I know describe my product. And then my more sophisticated campaigns where I'm trying to research additional keywords and uncover things long-term, that I want to target and build success around from a keyword standpoint, I'll do that on actual Amazon campaigns over time. Mm-hmm. That said, I've also run both broad and phrase campaigns on Google as well, and let them kind of broaden the scope a little bit to uncover additional words. That works just as well. I think just, you know, be ready to spend a little bit more money or spend a little bit more inefficiently on those additional keywords if you don't kind of isolate it to exact. But for simplicity's sake, I typically stick to exact if I'm doing a campaign only for launch for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. I love it. You're also mentioning keywords between 20 to 200, if I understood correctly.
Yeah. So I think every niche is different. If you're in a hyper-competitive niche, there might be, 1,000 words that you kind of uncover through your process. But generally speaking, there's probably somewhere between 20 and 200. For me, it's usually for a Google campaign, it usually ends up being 20 to 80, frankly, mm-hmm. if I were to hone it down. But I typically for Google Ads campaigns like to focus on the most relevant words. So what explicitly describes your product? When you start to get into nuanced stuff and more broad kind of things that they might describe your category, but it may not explicitly describe your product. I'll usually leave those off of the targeting. Mm-hmm. So for me, it ends up usually for a Google ad campaign being 20 to 80, but I would say for most folks, it's in that 20 to 200 kind of range. Nice. But it could be, for some, it might be 10. It's hey, these are the 10 words I really want to send signals on. And I'm only spending, $10 a day on Google ads or $20 a day. I'm only going to kind of load in 10. That's totally fine too.
Yeah, that's why I was asking, because after watching your video, I said, okay, if he could do it, I can do it, right? And as I was saying, you're tutoring. And what I did, because the reason I got into external traffic or how to look for something else besides Amazon PPC that was extremely expensive, I took the 10 keywords that were the most expensive for me in my niche. And I said, these are the ones, exact match, exactly what, how Adam is teaching, exactly this is what I'm going to do. And it's interesting because you were saying that for your companies, it was like a 5% conversion, which was kind of good. In the scenario that I did it, that I took the exact keywords that are the highest search volume, it was 20%, 30% conversion, which is wow, amazing,
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's amazing. And here also follow up, I think budget wise, because you were saying 5, 10, 20 bucks, how much or how would you budget for Google Ads?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it kind of depends on frankly the niche and kind of the competitiveness. And to your point, I've launched supplements as well, where it's not that crazy numbers that you face, but very similar to that. And it was just we actually spent the majority of our launch budget on Google Ads and just a little bit on pay-per-click to kind of help index the product a little bit with Amazon pay-per-click. But I think a good rule of thumb that I kind of think about is at launch, if we're talking launch, usually $10 per 10,000 in revenue that the target category is. So said another way, if you're targeting a product that's doing, $30,000 a month, or you think that you want to do about $30,000 a month on Amazon, mm-hmm. I'd spend $30 a day on Google ads is kind of roughly the math that I would shake out. Nice. I think in your case where you've got, and that's, I would say, your pay-per-click not being wild on Amazon, cause you still may want to have a decent amount of your budget on Amazon pay-per-click. Mm-hmm. If it's pretty reasonable and you're getting clean A costs and kind of the math makes sense. I would say in markets like you're talking about that are hyper-competitive and really egregious in terms of the cost per clicks on Amazon, I would maybe even inverse the budget. So the supplement launch I did, I think that we spent, I want to say it was $2,000 on Amazon ads, and it was more $5,000-$6,000 on external traffic across the board. So I think it really is very situational. But if you want a very basic rule of thumb, $10 per day per 10,000 in targeted revenue is a good clean way to think about it for a normal case. And then if you're in a more competitive environment, you probably want to beef up the budget, and you'll probably get a lot more dollar for dollar for your money to use some external traffic to, to substitute some of that spend on Amazon. Cause to your point, if you're spending, $1,000 a day, it can get eaten up pretty quickly on those super expensive words. If you're in a competitive category.
Yeah, definitely. And I'd love that you also mentioned that it's, you can also beef up the budget. I think coming from Amazon, per day, we had $300, $400 budget per PPC, yep. Per day. And it was yep. That's a shit ton. It's a lot of money, yep. And I yep. said, you know what? I'm taking $100 at that point. It wasn't a lot for me because yep. I said, okay, I'm going to gamble, right? But let's see how it's working. And honestly, I got shocked and scared the first first 1-3 days or so on, because I never had that organic traffic on my listing. And I was like, shit, what is going on, you know? Yeah. So definitely, it's like something to think about if you, as Adam was also mentioning, if the niche is super competitive and if you are already throwing a lot of money in PPC, don't think like $10 here and $500 there, but think like, okay, how do I maximize this? Like how can I clearly see organic versus paid traffic from Amazon, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I think, I mean, another thing to keep in mind that's super important is like every one of your competitors is going to be doing Amazon pay-per-click, right? Mm-hmm. So at that point, especially if you're a new ASIN with no reviews and you're just kind of trying to establish yourself, even with a super compelling offer and like a discounted launch price and all that stuff, it's a lot harder for you to get sales velocity as a new ASIN versus competitors. Mm-hmm. And you're likely going to have to pay a lot more per click than competitors because you're unestablished. Mm-hmm. Because everybody else in the space is doing the exact same thing. It's very hard to differentiate, especially as a new product. Versus Google Ads, which Amazon loves because you're sending external traffic and you're paying for that external traffic, and they've got tags behind the scenes in the back end of Amazon that know whether it's coming from external ads, and they reward that heavily, way more than they reward an Amazon pay-per-click kind of traffic. And I think the other thing that people tend to get a little bit concerned about is, well, what if it doesn't convert because they're not searching, they don't have the same buying intent as somebody on Amazon does. And that's undoubtedly true. Like, I would imagine that, especially when you run attribution, you'll see this, that the ads on Google or external traffic are not going to convert the same as somebody typing in keywords with buying intent on Amazon. There's no doubt about that. However, Amazon doesn't only reward sales. In fact, the biggest part of the Amazon algorithm is not even sales. Mm-hmm. They heavily reward traffic as well and site visits as well. And then they give you additional substantial organic rank juice reward when that traffic comes from outside of Amazon. And so, and again, it's something that many of your competitors won't or don't do. And so I think it's a competitive differentiator. Amazon rewards the heck out of it. And especially at launch, I think it's a very savvy strategic tool that you can leverage to get a leg up and kind of increase your organic rank exposure that would just be very difficult to do if you're using Amazon pay-per-click alone.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. You're touching a few subjects. I think the first one is, because we're talking now, you're redirecting traffic directly from Google to your Amazon listing, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so there's also, if you can bust this myth, there's also so many people are saying, don't do that. You're going to mess up your listing. What do you have to say about that?
So in my experience, I think that's BS. I know for a long time, it made me nervous when I first started doing it, but conversion matter. I don't want to say that conversion rate doesn't matter on Amazon, because it does. It absolutely matters on Amazon pay-per-click. So if you got keywords that you're running on Amazon pay-per-click that aren't converting, it could actually hurt your organic rank, even if you're spending a lot of money on them. But what I've found in my experience is that the benefit of sending the external traffic to your Amazon listing far outweighs any detrimental impact a lower conversion rate could have, because it's definitely going to be a lower conversion rate. So a lot of people, what they would do is they would send it to a landing page before it would go to Amazon, in the sense that you're almost pre-qualifying the traffic to convert much higher when it ultimately does go to your Amazon listing. So you'd go, say, Google Ads to a landing page I create, and then from landing page to my Amazon listing. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is that there's on the back end of Amazon, which I've kind of looked at my own Amazon buyer account just to see how they tag data on the back end for users. They absolutely track the source of the traffic, and they track where it came from, and they track whether or not it came from an ad. The problem that you're going to run into by running things to a landing page, even if you improve your conversion rate, is number one, you're going to get way less clicks to your listing. So our ultimate goal of getting traffic to our listing from external sources, you're going to get less of it, despite the fact that you paid for the click from Google. But the second thing that you're going to do is that the referrer is going to come from the landing page that you send to your Amazon listing, not from Google Ads. So as far as Amazon's concerned, it's your website, which probably has a low domain authority. They don't really know it. They're not going to reward your website or your landing page source URL in the same way that they're going to reward a Google ad traffic. So for that reason, we basically send it straight shot. Don't even really do a whole lot of stuff with keywords from the Google ad to the Amazon listing. And I don't worry about conversion rate at all, because I've never personally seen conversion rate detrimentally impact organic rank when I'm running external traffic to Amazon? The reward of that external traffic has always increased rank and far outweighed any negative benefit from conversion rate. That's under the assumption, I would say too, that you still have to be running Amazon traffic. You still have to be getting clicks on your listing. You still got to be running pay-per-click. Like, it can't all come from external ads, because you would have a, you know, if all your traffic came from external and the conversion rate was 1%, that's going to look really bad. Mm-hmm. So it's a blend, right? It's part of the overarching tools that you would leverage, but assuming that you're using a bunch of different tools and you're also driving traffic on Amazon to your page, I've always seen the rank benefit far outweigh any detrimental impact.
Mm-hmm. Love it. And I love also that you were mentioning, okay, landing page. If you're looking at the back end of this and you would really see the sales, like I can also see, like, it's 5 sales maybe or 10 sales max during a month or something like that, which is like, are you for real? Like, why would you pay that? But you're not paying for sales. This is super important. I love that you said that you're not paying for sales. You're paying for the traffic that's coming inside that's going to organically boost your ranking, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. And I would say the other thing too is that the more visits you get to your listing on Amazon from Google, so, you know, if you're going to an in-between page and it doesn't ultimately come to Amazon, you're also not going to get retargeting. So, like, I'm sure as you've seen as an Amazon buyer, for folks that live in the US especially, when you visit ASINs and you don't buy it, you're going to be getting emails in the weeks or months ahead that will show you that product and others in the category. Mm-hmm. When I'm searching on just my general internet browsing habits, I'm going to see retargeting display ads outside of Amazon for stuff that I've visited on Amazon. So the other thing that you get as a benefit of sending traffic is that Amazon's going to retarget those customers that come to your listing to try to get you to buy it later on, both through emails and through external and through ads on various display networks. Or when they log in again, they're going to say, hey, you looked at these 4 products recently, and one of those might be your product. So there's a lot of benefits in my view to sending it direct to Amazon. And I'm a firm believer in doing that.
A cool hack there that I just discovered, you know, because there's also a way how to, when we are going to get to the, how do you track this? There's also a way to have an affiliate link there to track it. Yeah. And most of the time, what you will see is like, hey, these people actually bought something else. Now I know that I can target that product because that's going to convert maybe for my listing, you know? So there are like different benefits there that you can like, hey, this is not only just like for sales. It's I think it's like data gathering rather than sales, achieving more sales. How do you 100%. See that?
Yeah. And I think that's also why I think that Amazon wants people to convert and buy stuff, but they're less concerned about that. I'm sure that they know that regardless of if an external person visits Amazon and visits your listing, even if they don't purchase your product, Amazon has additional data on that customer. They're likely already an Amazon customer, but they might have enrolled a new user to Amazon, but they've got additional data points that they can retarget and monetize that page view. And that's, I think, another reason why they're going to reward your listing if you're the source of that traffic.
What do you use for conversion tracking?
Yeah, good question. Again, kind of looking at simplicity first, what I would actually recommend to most people, which might be hearsay in a lot of like analytical e-com circles, is don't worry about tracking your first couple of campaigns. Because like tying in the, but long story short, we use Amazon attribution, which we can get into in a second, but it can be a little bit kind of annoying to set up for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times people are like, okay, well, crap, I got to learn this Google Ads thing. And then I got to like figure out how to like plug it in with Amazon attribution and like apply for Amazon attribution through brand registry. And so like, because of the complexity of the whole kind of process, they just don't do it to begin with. Yeah. So I would actually recommend your first campaign, don't even worry about tracking. And frankly, for most launch campaigns, my goal, frankly, although I want as many of those visits from Google Ads to convert as humanly possible, I actually don't really care if it converts as long as it's driving the signals to Amazon that's going to improve my organic rank at launch. Mm-hmm. So I actually don't care about conversion, and I often won't even tie in attribution. The only time I tie in attribution is if I'm going to be running those Google Ad campaigns on an ongoing basis for a particular product. Mm-hmm. But in those cases, if and when you do want to track conversion and understanding, hey, what kind of payback am I getting on the money that's going into these ads and how many of them are turning into sales? If you're brand registered, you can apply for something called Amazon attribution. Mm-hmm. It used to be really, really bad, and it's slowly getting better as Amazon focuses on kind of external traffic and giving sellers tools to drive external traffic profitably. It's actually improved quite a bit, and it's really, really good with Google Ads in terms of all the different traffic you can send to your Amazon listing using attribution. Some are easier to track than others. And I would put Google Ads up there with probably the best and most accurate tracking that Amazon has available. But yeah, you make that request through Amazon attribution, and then there's ways to basically tie in the links that come from your Google Ads and gives you kind of a tag and URL that you can use that basically enables, almost like a Facebook pixel, enables you to determine what traffic and clicks ultimately turn into sales for your various ad spend. So Amazon attribution is how you want to do it.
Got it. I think that what freaked me out for the first time when I started, I didn't know how to measure this. And I also was like, I had Amazon attribution because I'm brand registered, but as you were saying, it's like a pain in the butt to like have everything settled up. And yep. At some point it was like, look, I don't know if it's converting or not, but I see organic sales going up.
Exactly.
And yep. I was like, that's the most important thing. So yeah, agreed. I was just running with it.
Yep.
All right. So we were talking about conversion. I think, is there anything that I should have asked and I haven't at this point?
I think one thing that we can maybe talk about if you want to is, it just came out this week, but Amazon is now paying you for external traffic that you bring, external sales. So we maybe can talk about that really quick.
Definitely. And also pitch the name of the program because it's like a specific name for it.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, like, go on.
Okay, cool. So yeah, I would say another like really, I think, exciting development, it also kind of shows how much Amazon really likes and cares about external traffic, is actually just this week, they've come out with a new program that basically is going to give you a 10% reward on any external traffic that's tied in through the Amazon attribution program that you bring to Amazon that actually converts. So If you bring in a sale, let's say you bring in a sale that, you know, they buy $100 worth of your stuff on Amazon through a Google ad, as an example, Amazon will basically give you a $10 credit to your account for that sale. So super exciting. They're wanting to fund some of the cost of your advertising to encourage you to send that external traffic. I think a reason that they're doing this, if you look at other platforms like Walmart is one of the most prolific spenders on Google Ads. They're also really good at ranking products from walmart.com on the first page of results on Google. So I think that they want to scale and arm sellers to be able to get into this external advertising game to drive as much traffic as possible to Amazon. And they're actually willing to pay you for it. So super exciting development in terms of hedging some of that cost that you will incur sending ads. They're basically going to pay 10% on sales, which I think is awesome and definitely something that people should look into.
Definitely. And also good to mention, this is available only for brand owners. So if you are brand registered, then you just check it out. Definitely.
Yeah. Another reason to get a brand registry. Not that there weren't enough already. Yeah.
Yeah. Besides all the beautiful reasons to have your own brand.
Exactly.
To be super respectful of your time, before we wrap up, I love to ask a few questions, my guess. First being, This is a new one though. It's a fun one. If you would have one superpower, which would be it?
Oh, dang. Is this an Amazon-centric superpower?
Decide for yourself. It can be anything.
If I had one superpower right now, it would be to make shipping costs the same as they were last year. If I could raise my magic wand, honestly, truly, if logistics were a little bit easier, because I do feel like, I'm sure like most Amazon sellers, an increasingly and probably inordinate amount of my time and my team's time is now being spent on operations. So obviously we love building products. We love building brands. We love the aesthetics and photography and marketing and all that stuff related to the customer. To kind of be successful now, a significant part of the game is operations, and, you know, operations isn't fun, you know, booking shipments, you know, finding inexpensive shipments, getting stuff into port, getting stuff shipping into Amazon, storing stuff at warehouses. If I were king for a day, it would be nice to rewind the world to like 14 months ago when we could just ship stuff straight into Amazon with $4,000 containers. That would be awesome.
Or own everything and don't care about things.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant. What is a purchase you've recently made to help you get better at this case in, like, to learn about Google Ads that is $50 or less?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that honestly, the best way to spend $50 right now in the Amazon space is to just do stuff. I kind of like to learn by doing and experiment, but I think the more you can experiment and have kind of an innovation budget, so to speak, to spend on things that you don't care about the outcome. I think a lot of times we spend money with explicitly ROI in mind, right? Whether you're buying a course or you're buying an advertising platform or spending money on kind of a new marketing initiative or whatever it is that you're buying, you want to have like this, I want to have ROI on that money. I think when you think about spending money in terms of experimental learnings, even not knowing what those learnings or the value of those learnings are going to be, that for me has been some of the most like impactful stuff on my business. So If I were to spend $50, I would literally take 20 minutes today, learn Google Ads and spend your first $50 on Google Ads. And That experience, even if it's like burning money, will be an incredible benefit to you as an entrepreneur. And it will be an incredible benefit potentially for your business. I would do that. I'd take $50, spend it on Google Ads and give it a crack or a new traffic source you've thought of testing before, Pinterest ads, YouTube ads, you name the platform. Go to a platform you've never tested that you think would be really good for your consumers in terms of targeting them, and then take $50 and pretend like you're burning it and that you're never going to see it again, which you won't, and just see what happens.
Yeah, I love it. And just to complement with what you were saying, I would think actually that's right there, ROI, because now you know for $50 100%. What's working and what's not working. So 100%. Definitely rather test and see, because most of the time it's the things that are not working. Those are the most expensive. Yeah. So. Yeah, brilliant. Books, 3 favorite books, and why do you love them?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not a huge reader, to be honest. I've started to, I'm a big mountain biker. That's like kind of what I want to do in my free time. That's like one of the reasons why I got into Amazon is I wanted to have the flexibility like in the middle of the day to go mountain biking or skiing. Like that's kind of what life's about for me, is like having an unimpeded schedule or at least controlling my schedule. But I've started to listen to a lot of audiobooks. So I'm more of a listener than I am a reader of content. But I think a couple that I really liked, Deep Work by Cal Newport. It's been one that I've been kind of following. I'm trying this year to really focus on leverage and scaling myself and how I think about my business. So Deep Work has been a really good one. Kind of the concept there is just like work blocking. So I think a lot of people like sit down for 9 hours and like chip away at stuff. They go on email, then they go on Facebook, then they'll do a little bit of work for a little bit, then they jump on a call, and like it's very distracted work, and it's not, you're doing a lot of stuff, but you're not accomplishing a lot. And so Deep Work is really about like blocking time out to just be like hyper-focused on the things that matter in your business, Not being busy, but being thoughtful about your work. So I think Deep Work's a great one. One of my classics, I'll kind of, you know, rewind the clock like 20 years, but it informs a lot of what I do in business. It's a book called Purple Cow by Seth Godin. The concept of that book is just being super unique, right? Like as Amazon sellers, we try to just like iterate on what else is out in the marketplace, but we don't really stand out in terms of the products we bring to market or how we bring them to market. Purple Cow is this concept of like, if you were driving through a field in, you know, Missouri or whatever, or on a highway in Missouri, and you looked out and you saw a purple cow in the middle of a field, like that would be crazy compelling. You'd get out of your car, you'd take photos of it. Like it would be crazy. Make your products and your brands and the things that you bring to the table in business as unique as a purple cow, like something that's remarkable and worth talking about and worth seeing and worth clicking on, worth buying. So Purple Cow is an awesome book. And then another one, if you want to like burn some brain cells and like get really, really deep, this is not one that you can't listen in Audible. I've tried to, and it's a little bit difficult. So this is much more of a sit downer when you're ready to get deep in life, is a book called Principles by Ray Dalio. So he's super successful billionaire hedge fund investor, and just has a really unique take on both the business world as well as life in general. Just kind of the principles that have shaped his life and career are kind of embedded in that book. Again, kind of heady stuff. It's a little bit deep, but gotten a ton of the nuggets out of that book. So those would be my three.
So from, I don't really read books. There you go. 3 brilliant books, but I don't really read them. Great. All right. Adam, it was a blast having you on the show. You are super, super knowledgeable. I certainly hope to have you back on the show because you have so much more to offer. And I think before you're leaving, I would ask you, how can people get a hold of you, say hello, get to know you better?
Cool. Yeah. So two simple ways. First of all, if you're like me, I've learned a lot of about selling on Amazon through YouTube and just the materials that are on YouTube, free and accessible. So I've got a YouTube channel called Adam Heist. So if you just go to YouTube and in the search bar type Adam Heist, you'll be able to find me. I've actually got a video on Google Ads end to end. I think it's about 30 minutes long. So if you wanted to learn how to implement what we talked about today, I've got a video on that. And basically every week, I don't sell stuff. I mean, I'll recommend stuff that I use, but don't sell stuff. I'm not like trying to make a lot of money on it. I'm literally just sharing my experiences scaling my Amazon brands in kind of the most transparent way that I know how. So a lot of deep dive content on how to sell on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And then I actually recently sold one of my Amazon brands. So I've got a bunch of other ones that I still operate, but I've kind of been sharing my experience selling my business as well and just kind of industry news around the Amazon aggregator space. So if you go to Facebook and type in FBA exit, I've got a group that's kind of dedicated around selling your Amazon business, just kind of what's happening in the Amazon aggregator space. So FBA exit on Facebook, and then just type in Adam Heist on YouTube. Those are the two spots to get me. And I'm also a partner in Sellerize Software. So if you guys are looking for a cool software tool, I know there's many out there. I use a bunch of them as well, but really kind of excited about what we're building there in terms of tools for sellers. So just go to Sellerize.com/heist and you can get a free month of Sellerize if you wanted to give that a crack.
Brilliant. And I think
I said two, but I really meant three.
Ah, okay. that do it. So definitely. And yeah, as Adam was mentioning, this is how I found his stuff. He really has a lot of great content, and definitely go check out also the Facebook group. It's brilliant. And also I see you're really sharing the worldview of an Amazon seller trying to figure things out by himself without the, and that's super, super important. So thank you.
Well, it was a blast meeting you virtually via Zoom, as we've met a lot of people over the last couple of years with COVID stuff. But honestly, I respect the heck out of what you guys do and Carlos does with Wizards of Ecom. And it was an honor to be here to share a couple nuggets.
Yeah, it is great to have you on the show. Everyone listening, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. It was fun sharing this episode with you. If you found value in what you've heard, please show your love with a subscribe, rate, and review of the show. Until next time.